Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ball game. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
Well, how about those clear skies and warmer temperatures greeting us as we now ready for the weekend's World's Greatest College Weekend, the men's and women's Little Five, cream crimson football under the lights indicating, well, a beautiful backdrop to the end of spring football in Indiana athletics. IU Athletics, 24 sports, one team, and I tell you, the spring sports are meeting with grand success and time to go tonight. Behind the scenes, as we always do monthly with Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, it's brought to you in part by the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics at IU. A little bit later, in lieu of the state's 200th anniversary coming up in June, four men involved on a very special project and currently in full focus celebrating and recognizing the greatest sports stories in the history of Indiana. President of the Indiana Sports Writers and Sportscasters Association, Tom Kubot, Hall of Fame sports writer and author, joining us tonight, dropping in from Lafayette. The president of Indiana Sports History LLC, Brent Slinkard, advisory board members, multiple Hall of Fame journalist Bob Hamill, you know the name there. And also joining us hopefully a little bit later will be screenwriter and film producer of the movies Hoosiers and Rudy, Mr. Angelo Pizzo. Doug DeFord, Ellettsville native, managing partner of IU, or rather Indiana Sports History LLC, also joining us tonight. So we have lots to talk about, and they'll be discussing this special project that has been in works now for several months, even over a year and a half, and tonight coming to fruition. It'll be made public in June, and tonight we're pleased to have those gentlemen discuss, and a tough task ahead for the nominating committee as we ready for a little Tuesday night sports conversation on Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's, everyone, along with our producers, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, and on-site producers, Joanna and Mike Lascott, and all of our sponsors, including IU Athletics. Welcome to Yogi's. A beautiful night, finally some nice weather. My buddy next to me, Fred Glass, behind the scenes in our monthly chat. Very apropos this week because truly the events ahead on this tradition-rich weekend is upon us, Fred, and it is doubly nice to have you because you are here, I am here, all of our fans are here for IU Day, a day of celebration of all things IU. Welcome back, my friend. Well, let me pull you up. Let me, there you go.
I thought you cut me off.
Well, I know.
No, it's great to be here, and I, you know, as part of the IU Day festivities, we're doing a thank-a-thon with our student-athletes who reach out to all of our donors and send them cards and letters and phone calls, and we've been doing that a long, long time, and we're doing it to coincide with IU Day, and I have to hasten over there after this, but I wish I didn't because I'd like to sit in and listen to your panel. I mean, that's going to be a really cool
interesting
conversation and so many great things. When you were talking about it, my head was just spinning about all the different places you could go. Narrowing that to 25 will be quite a challenge.
Well, and, you know, us being rather biased because of the cream and crimson, you would be surprised. Well, you probably wouldn't be surprised of the number of Indiana University happenings, student athletes, and all-time greats that are on that list of some 62, 63 that they have to whittle down to 25. But this is for, this is neat, university and IU grads around the world celebrating today basically what it means to be a Hoosier.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing, and I think the IU Foundation, in particular Dan Smith, should really be commended for coming up with the idea. It's been a real rallying cry. People are interpreting it in their own ways. The athletic department's been very active in participating in IU Day, and we've done some fun things. Everybody in the department dressed up in IU stuff. We've been promoting selfies and the like. And I think it's one of those things that will take on more significance as it goes along and gets a few cycles under its belt. But I think it's a lot of fun, and I've talked to a lot of alumni who've really followed up on it and got the website and followed some of the fun things that the foundation put together for this. And I think it's going to be a really great day of celebration going forward.
Will it be the second Tuesday of April, or will it be always April 12th?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question, but it's new, and the foundation has been putting that together. So I kind of like the symmetry of the Tuesday, but we'll see where it fits in. Maybe that Tuesday works well because it'll generally be a little 5 week, and that's so much fun. And I kind of have flashbacks to my student days, and little 5 week was one of the funnest weeks. But then Sunday after little 5 is the saddest day on the student calendar. Mm-hmm. When you wake up at whatever time you do on Sunday after little 5 and all the fun is over, and man, I've been neglecting my studies, and here I go cramming for finals, that is not a fun day. But the days leading up to it are quite fun.
I saw something interesting in the fact that we've had great cooperation from the IU Police Department, Bloomington Police Department, and in all areas of the law enforcement agencies. But Coffee with a Cop is going to be held on campus. What a great idea to incorporate that with the fact that finally spring has sprung.
Right.
Temperatures are warming up a bit. A beautiful day today. And, so far, things have been pretty good when it comes to Little Five.
Oh, yeah. No, they have. And I do want to add my commendation, if you will, from to IUPD and Bloomington Police Department. The things they're doing, the outreach, has really, really been positive. And those folks do a really terrific job. And I think it's terrific that they're reaching out when things are calm, so that hopefully when things are a little more harried, there's some hay in the barn and some goodwill in the bank.
Well, I know you've always been one to, like night games in the regular season. It's interesting, too, that as we move through the week with all of the activities, and right now the game just started out at Andy Moore, Louisville is in town to take on the softball queens of Michelle Gardner, and they'll be on the road to Michigan State this weekend. But a night spring Cream Crimson game, 7 o'clock, and that, as I mentioned at the top, that ought to be a beautiful setting. What? With the weather scheduled to be in the low 70s.
Yeah, I think that's going to be great, Joe. One of the main priorities of the athletic department is to be integrated with the balance of the university, and we thought a great opportunity would be to really try to weave our way into Little Five weekend. So I think the pageantry of it being at night will be fun, but also it's kind of neat that the women's race will be at 4 o'clock, I believe, on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then our gates will open at 6, I think. Of course, the clinic starts at 5 for the kids, and then the kickoff is about 7, and the game will last. It's a manageable time, too. You don't have to come out there for 3 or 4 hours. We'll get it done in about an hour and a half, and it'll be fun, and Kevin will set up different things, and he's fun and engaged in that. But it'll be nice that it'll be part of the fabric of Little Five. Of course, we're going to have a concert after the game at 9 o'clock.
Union board's put
union
that.
Union board, yeah. So it's their
involved.
Normal union board concert, but we're having it in Memorial Stadium, and, of course, the bike race the next day. So we're excited about that, and I think our fans will enjoy a little bit of a twist on an old tradition.
Well, we're just getting started behind the scenes for the month of April with Vice President Director of Athletics Fred Glass. Lots to cover. Obviously, all of our spring sports teams doing well. And, of course, as is his custom, we'll have our department in the spotlight as well as our employee in the spotlight for the month of April. We'll do all of that and ahead, as we mentioned at the top, delve into what's going on relevant to the 200th anniversary of this great state of Indiana, the 25 greatest sports stories in the history of Indiana. That will be following coming up a little bit later. Right now, about 14 past the hour, you're listening to Behind the Scenes. We're live tonight from Yogi's. All right, welcome back, everyone. A beautiful Tuesday evening. Live tonight, Sports Talk Behind the Scenes. The IU Department of Intercollegiate Athletics are a sponsor, 24 Sports, one team, and the man that runs it all, Fred Glass, joining us in conversation. And, Fred, while we are having success, you name it, baseball, what a big series coming up with Iowa. Indiana right back in the hunt. We'll talk about that. But all the way across the board, it's been an engaging spring. The golf team, Clint Wallman's crew, just finished fourth out of the Bay Area Intercollegiate last weekend. So they're fighting to make the NCAAs, and this might be the year. But I thought golf in mind, and such as a beautiful day, and people are still wondering how Jordan Spieth lost that lead in the Masters to a very well-deserved winner in Danny Willett. Let's talk a little about the situation as your department in the spotlight centers around the IU golf course.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I thought you know, coming off the Masters, it was a good time. To do that, and a lot of people's attention turns toward playing golf, and it's kind of a rite of spring and so forth. And then, of course, we're really excited because we're hoping that a renovated golf course will be part of our capital campaign. And speaking of bicentennial with the state of Indiana and with the sports stories, Indiana University is heading toward its bicentennial in 2020. So we are trying to get a number of major facilities projects done by or before the bicentennial, and one of those is golf. So if we identify a major donor, which we're optimistic that we will, to help anchor a fundraising effort at the golf course, we are going to renovate the golf course. And you probably never hear this, Joe, but I hear from time to time that people feel like our golf course doesn't quite live up to the IU brand. And all kidding aside, it just certainly doesn't. So we need to make a major reinvestment. We're excited about developing an 18-hole destination championship quality golf course here at the golf course at IU, which will be an amenity not only for our golf teams, but more importantly, I think, for the university and the Bloomington community as a whole. I think the new hospital going out there creates a certain synergy, if you will. It'll create more attention in that area. We're going to lose the driving range as part of the hospital development, but we'll replace the driving range on what is now the par 3 and then develop the remaining 18 holes into a course of which all Hoosiers can be proud. And as part of that, we've been focusing more attention on the golf course. If people have been out there, I'm told that it's in as good a shape as it's been in a long, long time. Right. And so given all that, I want to make the golf course our department in the spotlight, but really shine the spotlight on Greg Bishop, who has just done an absolutely fabulous job out there, doing the best he can with what he has, which is right now, you know, a golf course that is a little subpar, if you will, if I might say that. No pun intended.
No, I love it.
But really getting us ready for what's going to be a major investment, major renovation. So there's a lot of great folks out there. They've been doing a great job. I think Greg Bishop has been, his leadership, his knowledge of the game, his knowledge of the business, it's really been great. And I want to give a special shout out to Spider Miller, who helped bring Greg to our attention and facilitated us connecting with him. So that's my department in the spotlight and my employee in the spotlight, Greg Bishop of the IU Golf Course.
Well, he really knows his stuff, and you know, he did hit the ground running. I mean, he looked out there, and this is his love. I mean, the game of golf and facilities and what have you, and to have him is really a 10 strike. So Indiana lucky really to have
him. I'd say he's more of a hole-in-one, Joe.
Yeah, a hole-in-one. Well, he'll give us plenty of red numbers as the Indiana Crimson will certainly, since Fred was talking about subpar, and we'll take it a step below that. You know, too, you were mentioning the driving range. Right now, it does great business. They are open for business. And, you know, with the way I play golf, I don't dare be on the champ course right now. The par 3 course has been my home course for the last 5 or 6 years while I go out when no one's around. So, but anyway, that will be an operation at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Joe. That's really important because with all the stuff going on out there, yeah, and people kind of wonder. But yeah, we're open for business. The pro shop's open for business. They've got a lot of nice quality stuff out there. I like to get some higher end stuff out there. If people are looking for quality, you know, merchandise and IU gear, there's a lot out there at the pro shop. The course is open for business. The par 3 is open for business. And the driving range is open for business.
And a lot of people behind the scenes incorporated with the everyday run of the golf course. You
Absolutely.
Know, Brent Emmerich comes, comes to mind.
Absolutely.
I mean,
good
Lord.
Yeah,
I mean,
Brent's
he's
an iconic figure.
He's out there before the sun is up getting things ready to go and what have you. What do you think about the spring game? It's been I was out there earlier in the week and just the field talking with Mark Hagan. Of course, we had Tom Allen on here on the show right after the hire was made earlier in the winter. And you can feel the attitude. I mean, you can go out and you know there's been change.
Right.
And we're talking about the defensive side of the ball. And to have Mark back working under Tom and what we've seen, you know, I'm looking forward to 2016.
Yeah, I am too, Joe. And as you alluded to, Tom Allen and Mark Hagan fit like hand in glove. I mean, they are very complimentary coaches. And to get Mark back has been fantastic. Of course, your listeners know that he's a great player for Indiana University and very well known around the state, a great coach, a tireless and effective recruiter. I think Tom Allen's done a great job. And there's so much of it is attitude. And, yeah, it's X's and O's. But it's attitude. It's the can do. It's the want to. And there's a different feeling around that defense, and really the whole team. And then of course the defense steps up its game. It pushes the offense. And Kevin's in a great place with these guys. There's a really good feeling around the team. So I'm really looking forward to the upcoming football season.
Well, there's seven home games, and it all starts with Ball State on the 10th. Indiana will open up on a Thursday night, the first day of September under the lights down at Florida International. But mentioning 7 o'clock, that is the kickoff, if you will, of the spring game. And again, as Fred mentioned, it's all free to the public, and the gates will open at 6 o'clock, and fans are encouraged to sit over there on the east side. And it's great that Kevin and his staff and the players are going to partake again in the youth football clinic.
Yeah, and it's a great time for you know, the family to come out, and a lot of chance to interact with the players and the coaches. And there's you know, Kevin really strives to have a family feel around the program. We hear that all the time from our current players, former players, prospective players, and it's the real deal. So you know, come out and be part of the family and enjoy the first peek at the 2016 Hoosiers.
Just came back from the BART earlier, and of course Chris Lemonis, and again, you know, blessed with a nice day. But that being said, a perfect week last week, and capped off by the sweep of PU. And you know, I don't think our seniors ever lost a game to Purdue.
Wow, that's something. Yeah, you know, you may be right.
You know, and thinking back. And I was thinking the other day, was that Purdue's first visit to the BART? Because we played them at Victory Field,
correct,
didn't we, one year? And then because of the scheduling change, we always had to play them
up
there.
I think it was,
play
Joe.
Them up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Iowa's coming in. Ball State tomorrow night at 6:05. This is the time to get hot. And Indiana, with the sweep of PU, up to number 5 in the league.
Exactly right, and closed, as we were talking earlier, on the Governor's Cup. So we're excited about all those pieces. And, you know, I think they're getting hot at the right time, and they're never say die. I mean, the comebacks that they made were substantial, especially that last game against Purdue. So love these guys. This
and especially
team.
Who did it with the Indiana stick,
right, yeah.
Logan Sowers,
yeah, exactly.
And a Lafayette kid. Yep. Who knocked off and completed the sweep. So lots of baseball. And mentioning the honor roll, I just, you know, specifically since we're talking about the spring game, fans, so you can purchase full season tickets or group sales information. All you have to do is go to our website at iuhoosiers.com. And that being said, you can make up your own. We have 7 games. You can build your own, and that the prices are going to vary on games, but you know, we have Ball State and Purdue, mentioning the Boilers coming into the stadium this year. So
it's
a
great home
there.
Slate. It's a great home slate, Joe. And our prices are the most family friendly in the conference. Encourage people to make that part of their fall. And people are responding. There's a good buzz around the team. We've already sold more public season tickets this year than we did, you know, all the way through the spring last year. So we're excited about that.
I know you're excited too, and we've talked at length about the winter success of both the men and women in swimming, and for good reason. But recently as of earlier today, Coach Lewis bolstered his staff with a brand new member of the athletic department.
Right. Blair Bachman's joined the staff, be an assistant for both the men's and the women's squad. I think it was late breaking news last time I was on here that that Ray was named Big Ten Coach of the Year for the men, following up on the women. And I think that was a first ever, I think, duo there, and that makes four Big Ten Coaches of the Year, which is tied for the second most in IU history. And we still have baseball, softball, and, you know, the outdoor track and fields to go, water polo. So, you know, we could make a run at that record.
Well, and we have, as I say, success abounding in all of our sports, and success includes what the men's tennis team did. They had a real great weekend, and you know, Lynn Loring, they had a tough road swing. They had to play Illinois and Northwestern, the two big powerhouses in the conference. Things did not go well. But that being said, starting this weekend, Wisconsin coming in, and the next four games, all conference matches, will be out on the varsity courts. And I say that for the first time maybe this spring. I know they've gotten a couple matches in, but it's with the weather the way it's going to be, it's finally going to be outside.
Which will be very nice. And before they hit those two kind of neighborhood bullies, they had really gotten off to a great start in the Big Ten. So I think they're well positioned to make a good run at it. You know, Lynn's always going to be there. He just does a great job.
Well, they have Minnesota as well ahead right after they play the Wisconsin Badgers this weekend. And track and field competing down in Louisville. They're going to have the Big Ten ACC Challenge with the Redbirds. They're playing softball at Andy Moore right now against Michelle Gardner's softball team. And again, we're looking at 22, hopefully 23 wins at the end of the night, and good success there with a relatively young team.
Really young team, especially on that pitching staff. But you know, that's what we'd been missing. I mean, you know, last year we'd put up a ton of runs, but we'd get a ton of runs against us. And those two young freshmen are a real terrific duo, and doing a great job, and the team's coalescing. And talk about never say die. You know, they took a couple tough losses against Penn State, but never looked back and came back and won the third by a very substantial margin. And I was at a practice recently, and there's just such a great feeling around that team. I think Michelle's got them going in a great direction.
Well, and Barry King's water polo queens, they had a couple of big wins on the road against Harvard and Princeton, and that jettisoned them back into the CWPA race after losing a tough one to Michigan at the CBAC that was on the Big Ten Network, but a well-played game. They just got outscored there. But that being said, they're going to probably run into Michigan again when stakes are a little higher, and right, that's that invitation to the NCAA tournament.
And what do they say about paybacks, Joe?
Paybacks.
Paybacks. It'll be paybacks payback. Are timely. Paybacks
are very good. Timely. Yep. Hey, we got five Tuesdays in the month of May, so we'll kind of let you go. We know you have things to do on this IU Day, a day of celebration of all things Indiana U, cream and crimson. So we'll check in with you in May. Have a great night. Enjoy your dinner, and go Hoosiers.
Thanks, Joe. Same to you. I'll always love being on. Thanks for having me.
Fred Glass joining us behind the scenes. And when we come back, as we approach, and you heard Fred talk about Indiana's anniversary coming up in a few years, as we approach now Indiana's 200th anniversary in 2016, a special project is underway to celebrate and recognize, as I mentioned, the greatest sports stories in the history of Indiana. Sports broadcasters and writers from across the state have weighed in on a history-making documentary by nominating their favorite top 25 sports stories. And this summer, in June, they'll be releasing the work to the public through a very beautiful collector's book illustrating the 25 greatest sports stories in the history of Indiana. And when we come back, we'll talk with four gentlemen that have, they have been at work putting this thing together. And we'll be back to talk with men associated with putting this great 25 greatest sports stories in the history of Indiana story together. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's.
New Albany.
Welcome back, everyone, and Sports Talk tonight live from Yogi's, as always, on a Tuesday. Well, as I mentioned going into the break, the greatest sports stories in the history of Indiana, a very thoughtful reflection of why we are and will always be, yes, loyal fans of sports throughout the great Hoosier State, and as such, it will contribute to the desired outcome, which is to tell the compelling story of how and why sports have really played a part in defining our great state. And as we mentioned at the top, we have four gentlemen joining us. Brent Slinkard, president of the Indiana Sports History, LLC, also on the board of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Bob Hamill, who we inducted into the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame in 2015. And he's won so many Hall of Fame awards, I've lost count. But suffice it to say, a great journalist, a great friend, a great author, as is Tom Kubot, the president of the Indiana Sports Writers and Sportscasters Association. Tom dropping in from Lafayette to take time to be with us tonight. And like Bob, in Indiana Hall of Fame sports writer and author, and served four decades writing and doing a great job in the city of Lafayette and Tippecanoe County for Purdue sports, for high school and all sports involved. And first of all, we'll start with Brandon. And fellas, just thanks for joining us tonight. What a great story held in conjunction. And I know, Brent, that you've been working on this project for a few years. But tell us, what is basically the greatest sports stories in the history of Indiana?
Well, Joe, thanks for having us on. First of all,
my pleasure.
This is exciting because it's a sum total of all the things we get excited about in sports. You know, it's non-political, it's non-gender, crosses all socioeconomic boundaries, and it's one of those things that you can look at it a couple different ways. It's people sitting around and having a beer and talking about their favorite stories in the history of Indiana. Our history is so rich with these stories, the coaches, the players, the games, the events, just a short list. And I'm not going to go through everything here, but I want to give listeners an idea of some of the things we're talking about. Within the state of Indiana and our history, we're talking about the Indianapolis 500, Damon Bailey, the Indianapolis Colts, Mark Spitz, the 1954 Milan team, Notre Dame football, John Wooden, Peyton Manning, Reggie Miller, Newt Rockne, Bob Knight, George Talaferro, Larry Bird, Oscar Robertson. I mean, that's just a start, Joe. And it gives you an idea of the rich history that we have in this state that I think truly helps define us.
Well, you got a big job out in front of you, and I noticed the list of about seven pages long there. I think I counted up anyway, 63 nominations. But, Brent, tell me, where did the idea actually come from?
Well, it's interesting. I think that I would point to a meeting I had, a lunch, almost about a year and a half ago with Bob Hamill and Angelo Pizzo. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking if there's two guys that you could talk to about the fabric of sports in this state, it would be those two gentlemen. And we had lunch, and I'll be honest with you, we got lost in the moment. We began talking about the stories. We began talking about the rich history. And I knew I recognized really quick that we've got something here. And in a sense, we have a responsibility to tell these stories, and that's really where it started.
Well, Bob, and we'll switch from Brent to Slinkard, and again, Brent is the president of Indiana Sports History, LLC, and you know who Brent Slinkard is, and a treasure in himself here in Bloomington, Ellettsville, Edgewood, and Monroe County. But Bob, what do you think? You look at the whole scope of things, why do you think our state is so infatuated with sports?
Well, I think because we're lucky in what we've been able to watch. I can talk about history because I've lived most of it. I was thinking just today that some of the kids I covered who were in high school are in their 80s now. So most of that bicentennial, I've been around.
A long way from Huntington, Indiana to Bloomington. We love you. But you're right. But, you know, you look, and Bob, reflect, if you will, on our state's greatest sports treasures. Why do you think that so many of these stories have stood, if you will, the longevity, the test of time?
Well, I think the movie Hoosiers proved that these aren't just local stories. These are the gripping dramas that we've been privileged to watch. Milan was certainly a phenomenal story that Angelo and David Dance Paul were able to capture. And it's more than Milan. It was we were with him today, and he brought up again how much of an influence the Unionville championship in the Bloomington sectional in 1966 was in that same movie. And but beyond that, you know, that this is the state of Oscar. This is the state of Larry Bird and Notre Dame football, for heaven's sake. And here, just even the memories of that 67 Rose Bowl season. Now, how big a story was that?
Rags to riches. What a season.
Plus the unbeaten basketball championship, and Doc set a 6 straight NCAA championships around Mark Spitz, and that whole, the greatness of that program. And, but, you know, where do you stop? I mean, Jerry Yeagley's soccer program that he built out of nothing.
That's infinite. I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. You guys got to – this is a tough task. And Bob Hamill, the voice that you recognize. And Brent, let me ask you this. How are you putting the documentary together as we sit here now, April 12th, on IU Day? That's why it's so great to have you guys in here talking about the 25 greatest sports stories in the state of Indiana. And we're a little biased around the table. But how are you kind of putting it all together, Brent?
Well, it's clear that this has really been an IU-centric project, and largely because of the accomplishments of our athletic departments here in Indiana. But I will tell you that we want to make sure this was done right. It was done with integrity. And shortly after my meeting with Angelo and Bob nearly a year and a half ago, Bob suggested reaching out to the ISSA, which is the Indiana Sports Writers Sports Broadcasters Association. And what we have done is created a collaborative partnership. And what that has allowed us to do is enabled our reach throughout the state of Indiana to sports journalists from tip to tip.
Yep.
And we have actually reached out to this group with first a nomination process, which is what we're sharing tonight with you, Joe. And as we speak, journalists all over the state are voting on the top 25 sports stories in the history of Indiana. So in meeting Tom Kubat, who's here with us tonight, Tom has been just an extraordinary influence on this project, not only his knowledge, but his effort to make sure that it's done right. When Tom and I met each other, I think we learned pretty quickly. We do things right, or we don't do them at all, and that's kind of the way I feel about Tom.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, and Tom has joined us, and as we mentioned, he is president of the Indiana Sports Writers and Sportscasters Association. And Tom, first of all, Indiana Hall of Famer, a sports writer again for the Lafayette Journal Courier, and not to get that confused with the Louisville Courier Journal. Great seeing you. Thanks for dropping in, and what a worthwhile project, and for the ISSSA to be involved from top to bottom and east to west. Tell us, what is the ISSA?
Well, it's a group of, as the name would say, sports writers and sportscasters across the state. And our primary, the ISSA was founded way back in 1946.
Right.
And then in 1996, we had our first banquet, and we created a Hall of Fame. And so we just had our banquet, our 21st banquet Sunday, and inducted 6 new members of our Hall of Fame, and it's now surpassed 100 members in the ISSA Hall of Fame. And that's primarily what we're here for, is to honor the best of our best in the business. But then when Brent, what was it, 2 years ago, a year and a half, something like that?
2 years ago.
When he came to our board meeting and presented his idea, one, you could tell that he had thought out everything. The presentation was very impressive. But if you've got our board of 10 people that are all sports writers and sportscasters, after he got done, I mean, everybody jumped at it. I mean, why wouldn't we want to be part of helping to decide what the top 25 stories are, but also be part of writing the stories about those stories in the documentary? So our guys were gung-ho. I remember a couple guys said, man, I wish I'd have thought of that. But now having worked with Brent, I thought they don't know the number of man hours that this guy has put into this, yeah. You know. But it was a no-brainer to become involved, not only in the voting process, but in the writing process and anything else Brent wants us to do. I mean, you got a bunch of guys that's what they do. That's their livelihood, is to report on sporting events. So it's a tremendous honor to be part of this and to be this directly involved.
I was going to ask you, why do you feel you are really the greatest sports stories in the history of Indiana, and why? I mean, a simple question to ask that will have different responses. It means so much to so many, but yet that said, it also means so much to the individual that I ask. So, Tom Kubach, why is that important?
Well, I mean, we already know that when we come out with our top 25, there's going to be controversy. Sure. You know, there's always going to be, well, why isn't this story in there? Or this story's too high or too low. But that's the beauty of it. It creates a discussion. And we've talked about that a lot, and especially in establishing the nominated stories, whether they should include, for example, Indianapolis 500, the 500 in its entirety, or break it down, this race or that race or the driver and everything. And I know when I voted, I stewed over my vote for like 2 weeks. I wrote down what I thought would make the top 25, and I ended up with 35. And I thought, all right, I got to boil this down. And it was hard, you know, what makes it and what doesn't. Then I finally came up with my top 25, and I was ready to pull the trigger, and I stopped. I thought, well, wait a minute. There's one here that I don't have in it. Maybe it should go there. And it took me 2 weeks before I finally said, okay, I'm going online, and I'm going to send in my vote. It's a very, very difficult process, which tells you that there's a lot of great stories involved in this to create a top 25.
You know, Tom, it's interesting that you brought up the Indianapolis 500, the greatest spectacle in racing. Fred Glass, who we had on earlier tonight, of course, he being a native of Indianapolis. I'm a native of Speedway. I grew up from day one, and, you know, that was, you know, you're looking at the impact of the greatest spectacle of racing and what it meant to the world, or say, for instance, and Fred brought this up, the impact that Tony Holman had refurbishing the track after the war, and I mean, that could be a story in itself.
Oh, yeah, and really we've discussed about, if you take the Indianapolis 500, you take Notre Dame football,
right,
and you take Indiana men's basketball, and list, you know, for example, Indiana men's basketball, you could include the five national championship teams as one story. You can include the Bob Knight era as one story,
no question.
I could go on and on,
sure.
But there would be a possibility that the top 25 would mostly be made up of the Indianapolis 500, Notre Dame football, and IU basketball. And you know, some people would view that as a negative, and other people might say, well, if that's what the vote, that was that the results of the voting, then so be it. And, you know, Indianapolis 500 probably could take up the whole 25 if you start including drivers and this race or that race,
yeah.
Different car improvements and engines.
Yeah, Bob, you know, the deadline now for the entries, I mean, we're looking at a list of, what, 63. When is the deadline? And tell me your feel. I mean, this is ambitious, but yet too painstaking, but probably one of the toughest things you've delved into in your journalistic life.
I was thinking, as Tom was discussing the things that are automatic, you certainly can't leave out Indiana high school basketball. that's pretty huge, too, and that could probably have its own top 25.
And then Damon Bailey with the 41,000, and you know,
and Oscar and Milan and all those things. So it's there's so much here, and how we group them is a key part, and that's part of the indecision at this point on exactly. What constitutes a story? there's a lot of flexibility left, but the deadline is this week, I think, is it, Tom?
Friday at midnight?
Now, you guys are going to be, since you're both outstanding, you both have been authors, award-winning, you both have been longtime sports journalists, and you're both going to be involved, and Tom Kubach and Bob Hamill joining us, along with Brent Slinkard and Doug DeFord from Indiana Sports History, LLC. you're going to be involved with writing essays for this, what is going to end up being a beautiful hardbound copy that any person in the state of Indiana would treasure to have.
There'll be a lot of people writing essays, yeah. You know, as we were talking here, we're implying it's an all-male thing. Well, they won't be. The Title IX originated with the work by in Indiana. So there's a whole spectrum of sports to cover, and we're going to try to touch all those bases.
And Tom, do you guys sit down then after the nominations are in? Coming up on the 15th, used to be tax day. We get a break. We don't have to pay our taxes until the 18th this year. But that being said, this is a big deadline. When do you start, immediately, or have you tinkered with, sitting down and getting your game plan together?
Well, that's probably more Brent's decision. But, yeah, I think we want to start pretty quickly because we want to get the specific stories assigned to certain people. Now, obviously, if you had somebody that covered an individual, let's say Larry Bird, and if he's in the top 25, if there's an individual that spent a lot of time and covered a lot of his career, we try to match that up. But obviously, I don't know, we have very many people that were around when Milan pulled off their miracle.
I got there right afterwards. Okay.
I was seven.
So, you know, we'll have people that will have lived through and covered a certain event that makes the top 25, and then there might be some others where you're just going to have do some good reporting to find out everything that went on and find out some things, maybe some little-known things about a certain event and include them in our story.
Tom Kubot, the president of the Indiana Sports Writers and Sports Broadcasters Association, passing the mic over to a longtime friend. I hadn't seen him for, it's been at least 10 or 15 years, and we're talking with Doug DeFord, who is alongside Brent Slinkard, and as we mentioned, managing partner, if you will, in Indiana Sports History, LLC. I mean, you know, looking at the whole scope of things, Doug, you got to be elated, not only associating yourself with this subject area and this project, but the men you're working with.
Oh, exactly. We, when he told me about the opportunity and what he was thinking about doing, it just gave me chills talking about the possibilities with the sports stories and then being able to work with Bob Hamill and Tom and meeting Mr. Pizzo that has just been a thrill for me. I mean, it's just best opportunity I could find.
Well, let me ask you, and Doug DeFord, the voice, and Brent Slinkard back with us. Brent, when can we, if you will, learn about the work, and when will the documentary be available then to the general public here in the state?
Well, there's several, what I would call several sections to this. It's a body of work that will cover print, broadcast, and even event. Later this summer, we will be announcing through a statewide network of radio affiliate the top 25 stories. We're going to have some of the celebrities involved with that project, as well as people and writers that have been involved with this project all the way through. You know, one thing that I would point to, Joe, is that I think for most people out there who have traveled around the country, if you've been fortunate enough to do so in business or personal reasons, when you share that you're from the state of Indiana, you commonly get a question about sports.
Sure.
They might say, well, that's Bob Knight country, or they may say, well, that's where the Indianapolis 500 is, or that might relate the story of Hoosiers and connect it to Indiana high school basketball. And what I'm suggesting is, why I think this project is essential, is that for many of the 6.6 million people throughout this state and throughout the nation, they connect sports to Indiana. It is so much of our brand, it is so much of our state's identity. And that's why when talking with Doug and Bob and Tom and Angelo, we got to tell the story. We got to tell it in a very compassionate and compelling way and bring honor to all this work by all these coaches and athletes.
And Tom, with all your experience of covering so many different events over your 40 years when you worked with the Lafayette Journal Courier, this has got to be exciting. I mean, to delve back into yesteryear, to delve into some of the events that you quite possibly covered on your beat over in Tippecanoe County. I mean, you've got to be like, it's Christmas in April, May, June, and July.
I'm a kid in a candy store, and that's like when our board heard Brent's presentation, and then we started to present it to our members and our Hall of Fame members, and then fortunately we went beyond that to the working journalists, sports journalists in the state right now. I could not imagine anybody in our line of work saying, well, I'm not interested, or I don't want to vote. I mean, to be part of this, and I mean, it's going to be history making, and to not vote or not want to write, to me, that's just, I just can't even fathom that. So as much work as he's put in, and I put a fair amount, but it's a, I keep saying it's a cliche, but it literally has been a labor of love. And I just, it's like, you know, you're expecting a baby, and I can't wait for this book to come out and have a finished product to look at.
Well, Tom, we appreciate your candidness and your thoughts and comments on this great project. Hams, I know they didn't have to twist your arm off, did they?
No, but you know, when you think about this whole broad subject, you think of the, what's big to certain people. For example, in Evansville, do you think there was anything bigger in the century than the crash of that killed their basketball team? Wherever you are, there are huge stories, and they're local, but they're also national, and they're statewide. So we have to. There's been a real effort up to now, and there will continue to be to try to look at that in a broader situation. And Evansville again had the Jerry Sloan and those great unbeaten teams in Division II of basketball. So every locality has its own, Purdue with Drew Brees and Bob Greasy. That's a pretty good pair to trot to. So,
how about Rick Mount?
And Rick Mount. And then John Wooden was a reasonably successful person out of there. So.
Well, there's a lot there, no way. And you've got me totally embellished in this now. And being a Hall of Famer myself within the organization, I can't think of a worthier thing that I've seen come across my desk. And, Brent, I thank you for allowing me to bring the gentleman here to at least get us rolling and make awareness of what is going on. So any parting last few words? And because I want to do another show, Angelo Pizzo's boy, Quinn, is an excellent golfer at South. They have a match tonight, and we're going to bring Angelo in before we officially put him in the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame in July, which will be a big night for Anthony. But I get excited when there's going to be, as you say, not only the print version, but envisioned film as well. Well, I associate film immediately with Anthony Pizzo, so I want to see what's up his sleeve, so we'll make another show of this with or without you, because I know you live now, and you're a man of you got a lot of irons in the fire, and you're living in South Carolina now.
Well, I tell you, the thing about Angelo is the creative execution, to think of taking one of the greatest storytellers about sports in the country and have him involved with this project is just extraordinary. And that's why I want to lean on Bob heavily and Angelo in the very beginning to get a sense of this. If people want to follow what we're doing, they can go to Indiana25.com, Joe. Okay. Indiana25.com. You can follow our progress and our work and some of the updates. We'll be able to release to the public what our book release date will be, some of the projects that we're doing. And at some point, we're going to get the public more involved with this.
Well, great. And, fellas, again, thanks for making it just a night of great conversations relevant to not only our great state of Indiana, but what we have all made professions of, and that's to follow the student athletes and the many men that have made the headlines down through the years, and why our state takes a backseat to no one. We thank them. The 25 greatest sports stories in the history of Indiana, in conjunction with Indiana's upcoming 200th anniversary in June, coming up just a few short months from now. And we'll be back to close it out. You're listening to Sports Talk here on a Tuesday night. We're live from Yokies. Well, we thank Fred Glass going behind the scenes, Tom Kubot, Bob Hamill, Brent Slinkard, Doug DeFord, Indiana Sports History, LLC. What a great endeavor and what a great project, and we can't wait until June when we find out the 25 greatest sports stories in the history of Indiana. Hey, don't forget, in the zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tomorrow.
Reds and Cubs tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Women's Little 5 and Men's Little 5 this weekend. Great weather. Our shortstop barbecue train. Employee of the week, Brooke Piper, one of my favorite stops over on the east side. Our producer, Will Boatman, along with Joanna and Mike Glascott. You've been listening to Sports Talk here tonight on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone. Have a great week. Go Hoosiers.